Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Thank you.
morning, Ebenezer. Welcome to the online broadcast of the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. We welcome you into this place. We welcome you into our homes. We welcome you into his house. And we thank you for allowing us into yours. Now, wherever you are, don't treat your house like it's just an ordinary house. Treat it like you're in God's sanctuary. Treat it like you're in the presence of the Lord. Treat it like this is the first day you're walking in heaven, which means there ought to be some celebration in your house. There ought to be some hands clapping, some feet stomping, some leaping, some jumping. Let the Lord know that you are happy and you are prepared to worship him. Hit the share button wherever you are. If you're on your iPhone, swipe up. If you're on your iPad, swipe up. If you're on an Android phone, swipe down. Just find that blue share button. Invite your neighbors to let them know that you're watching the birthplace of gospel music. Come on, come on. Let us pray. Father God, we welcome you into this place. Lord God, have your way with this service, God. God, do what you do, God. Let your anointing flow in this place, God. Touch every musician, God. Touch every singer, God. Touch the preacher of the priest word today, God. Do what you do, God. Fill this place with your spirit, God. Not only this place, God, but every household that's watching this broadcast right now, God. Touch them in a special way, God. Renew their mindset right now, God. Give them a fresh energy, a fresh anointing, God, and a fresh zeal for your word. We pray this prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture text today comes from the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, simply the 11th and the 12th verse. And it says, "And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Come on, put your hands together. The word of God is already blessed. Wherever you are in your house right now, the word of God is already blessed. Yes, journey.
Want the Lord to walk with us. We are certainly on a tedious journey. How many in the room or on the Facebook pew, in the Facebook pew recognize that we are on a tedious journey in 2020? If it's not one thing, it is another. But God, we are trusting that God will walk with us every step of the way. We are so grateful that you have decided to join with us here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. And it is our prayer that something that will be said, something that might be sung, will speak to the needs of those of you who have gathered here online and in this space to worship Almighty God. Ebenezer is a praying church. We believe in the power of prayer. And today, there are several names that we would like to lift today. Several names that we would like to lift today of members and friends and extended family members who are requesting prayer. We are continuing to pray for the recovery of our beloved Myrtle Gunn as she just celebrated a milestone birthday. God is yet able. God is yet able. We're lifting up Albert and Mary Burton today. We are lifting up Lindsay Murray today. And we're lifting up the wife of our own Mark Harris, Tressie Harris, who had to be rushed to the hospital this morning by Mark. Mark rushed her to the hospital this morning. And because we're living in new times where you can't stay and wait, he felt like the best place to be was in the house of the Lord on his guitar, praising God and praying for his wife right now. So we're lifting up Tressie Harris today. We're lifting up Bernetta Pearson, my mother-in-law, the mother of my wife, Pamela Pearson, who is continually having challenges right now. And we are reminded that God is yet able, even during these challenging times. We're lifting up David Pearson. We're lifting up Brother Coleman, Chester Coleman Jr. We're lifting up Linda Gray. We're lifting up so many people who are requesting prayer. We're lifting up our church family. We're lifting up our leadership this morning. We're lifting up our chairman of the deacon board and our chairman of the trustee board. We're lifting up our treasurer this morning who injured his back yesterday, and we're praying for him even right now. We're praying for favor in this house as we are preparing to embark on a very serious and amazing announcement, but it requires a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. And so we are coming to God in prayer. We're coming to God in prayer because we recognize that he's heard our prayer time and time and time again. And so we come to the throne of grace, recognizing that there is no other place, no other place where we can go. So we go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, it is with humble hearts and minds that we approach the throne of grace right now. God, we come before you first and foremost to say thank you. We come to say thank you first for another day's journey. We recognize that God, oh God, that you kept us all last night and you allowed us to see a brand new day. And for that act of mercy and grace, oh God, we say thank you today. We thank you, oh God, for all of the members of our faith community. We thank you, oh God, for this church and for what it has meant and stood for over 118 years. God, we say thank you. God, we come lifting up the names of those who are on our prayer list. We were continually pray for and remember Sister Betty Smith. We are remembering, oh God, Linda Gray and Lindsay Murray and Myrtle Gunn and Diana Johnson and Vernetta Pearson and the Burtons and so many more, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you touch bodies right now. We ask, God, that you will touch minds right now in the name of Jesus. We ask right now, oh God, that you would grant our church favor right now, oh God. As we seek to do so many things to keep our people connected and to further the ministry in this place. God, we say thank you for even though times in our world and in our nation seem to be incredibly turbulent. Things are upside down and right side out. God, we recognize, oh God, that you are still in control. You are still in control. And we recognize, oh God, that your will be done. Not only in this nation, not only in this state, in this city, but in our individual lives. Your will is going to be done. God, we ask that you would bless this service that we are offering to you today, oh God. We're asking, oh God, and believing, oh God, that something that might be said and something that might be spoken, something that might be uttered in adulation of your name, that it will speak to the people who have gathered. We're remembering our children right now, our young people who have returned to school or are on school online. We are remembering the parents, the teachers, the homeschoolers, all of those, oh God, who are standing in the gap during these challenging times. And God, if it be your will, we ask that you would speed up, oh God, the day when we can realize some sense of normalcy once again. We know it will never be the same again, but some sense of normalcy, a place and a space where we can greet each other and hold one another and caress one another and kiss one another and shake a hand, oh God. We ask that you will speed up the day when we can show our Christian love in tangible ways. God, speed up that day when we can gather where we can sing, where we can touch, where we can feel, where we can praise your name as an assembly of believers. God, we thank you. Thank you for yet another day. And we lift this prayer upon the wings of the morn, and we place it before thy feet. To the all-wise God we pray, and for his sake we pray. And all of God's people said amen. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Time of our worship experience, it's your opportunity to participate in the worship through giving. We recognize that God has been good to us, and we give because we have, and we have because we give. We are asking our Ebenezer Faith community to pray about what you should give right now. Go to God right now, and whatever the Lord says is appropriate for your household, we ask that you see that offering right now. To those of you who are worshiping with us as visitors, we thank you for your continued support. And we continue to ask for your continued support right now. You can give through EbenezerBronzeville.org. You can go to our website, or you can do text to give through as a way to give, or you can mail it to Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, 4501 Vincennes Avenue, or if you want to just come by the church and drop it in the mailbox, we'll be happy to receive it that way. Ebenezer, we need you right now. We have a tremendous work to complete. We have some major things we have to do, and we need for you to continue to see, sow a seed of generosity in this place. Our musicians will lead us now as we are in a spirit of giving. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I want to read into your hearing once more and again from 1 Kings 19:11-12. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. The word of God for the people of God and all of God's people said, amen. I want to speak from the subject, the still, small voice. Thank God, music ministry this morning. How do you know when God is speaking to you? It's not something we like to talk about much, and probably for fear of ridicule. Because if the truth be told, it's an uncomfortable subject. It's an awkward topic, even for some Christians. And when you think about it, that's kind of strange, considering that you and I believe God has the power to orchestrate and coordinate our lives according to his divine will. And so what other means would God use to accomplish his will in our lives unless God speaks to us in some form or another? You see, God has to speak to us because we are not his puppets. There are no strings tied to our arms and legs to order our steps. The only conduit or channel available to God to orchestrate our lives and lead us away from disaster is the mind and our souls. But just like a radio, if your switch is in the off position, God can't make beautiful music flow out of you. So let's power up and turn our switch to the on position for the next few moments to hear from the Lord through this text. Whether saved or unsaved, there are several ways God speaks to us. First and foremost, God speaks to us through his word. Let me tell you something. You and I have a great advantage over the patriarchs of Genesis and Exodus. God has a concrete method of communication with us. And in case you didn't know, it's called the Bible. God inspired chosen men to record history. In fact, our Christian articles of faith declare that the word of God is a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction, with God's for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. It goes on to say it reveals the principles by which God will judge us and is therefore God's supreme standard for all human conduct. Since we have so great a book, it just makes sense to read it. God took great pains to unfold his Trinity existence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the distinct and harmonious offices they hold in the great work of our redemption. He was careful to begin his story with how humankind, who was perfectly created, fell into sin and needed a path to redemption. It tells of the journey from an old covenant relationship marked by the blood of lambs to a new covenant relationship drenched in the blood of one lamb. It tells how God took the form of a compassionate, all-sufficient Savior and through death on a cross made full and final atonement for our sins. It explains in great detail how our confession of faith in that same Savior, his Son Jesus Christ, brings us into a state of favor with God and secures our blessings of redemption for all eternity. It affirms the cost of this salvation. It's free. Free to all who acknowledge Christ's salvific sacrifice, repent of our sins, and accept this unending grace. It tells how we should live and who we should live for until the final judgment day that will forever fix our final state of existence in heaven or hell. You see, God speaks through his word, and it's some kind of story, for he speaks thoroughly and efficiently and compassionately and irrevocably, laying out every nuance of life with him or without him. And if we don't pay attention and take the time to read it, the failure to secure our heavenly future is on us. Second, God speaks to us through pastoral leadership and other positive Christian guidance. He surrounds us with passionate converts and pastoral leaders who act as our spiritual parents to watch over our welfare and do their best to raise us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What do we need them for? Those pesky people who are always telling us that we should, what we should do and how we should do it. Somebody has to lead this ragtag bunch of wayward wanderers, or we will wallow in our own mess. God knew humankind needed spiritual guidance way back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve failed to play by God's rules. So he chose a leader, a man called Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. And Abraham became the father of the movement to reunite humanity with the one true and living God. The story of Abraham proves the necessity and the importance of pastoral leadership and positive spiritual guidance. God called Abraham out of idolatry and told this man who worshiped the sun, moon, and stars to come out from among them. Allow me just for a moment to take a side trip here to make a sub point for this preachment. It might seem silly that Abraham worshiped the sun, the moon, and the stars at first, but we too worship a lot of things that are downright silly as well. If worship is defined as an expression of reverence and adoration, we worship some things that are just as ridiculous. What do you mean, preacher? We worship secular singers who tug at our heartstrings with emotional jargon. We worship athletes with great physical prowess who entertain with finesse and flair. We worship the golden calf objects of today, luxury automobiles, designer clothing, and earthly mansions. We adore these things, and we recklessly give them first place above the importance of worshiping our God. Abraham came from a wealthy family. He had all that stuff, so he had to relearn how to live. He had to forfeit his unsavory religious background and heed God's summons to live a higher life. God was able to transform Abraham, his character, his attitude, his position, and his earthly destiny, because Abraham responded when God called him. He was no better than any other person on earth, but he heard God and he heeded God. And many of us would do well in our own lives if we would hear God and heed God. And he called his family to follow him to a land God would show them. There was no GPS, no maps to follow, no brochure describing the new destination, just an authentic and absolute aspiration to follow God's lead. That's how God uses leadership. God prepares steadfast leaders who will bring his people through the wilderness to the promised land. He equips them with spiritual knowledge necessary to inspire the masses. Some will reject the message to be sure. Some will be sometime, and some will follow kicking and screaming. And some will follow with absolute aspiration. But the leadership is there, and it's up to us to keep our switch in the on position to hear what God has to say to us. And the question is, are we listening? Finally, and most importantly, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. We sometimes refer to the Spirit as our conscience. But it's not our conscience at all. It's God's conscience being deposited into our minds. And to be sure, it's seldom very loud. God, you see, is not a screamer. It's more like a still, small voice. Too many people reject what the Bible and God's spiritual leaders tell us because we prefer to follow our own conscience. We prefer to take and make our own prescriptions. That's not the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's foolishness. For the Holy Spirit speaks in the clear and concise language of the soul. And if your switch is turned on, your mind will learn the same language. We sing a song in the church, "The Spirit of the Lord is in this place," and it is. But will the Spirit's message fall on deafness, or will we let the Lord pass by? Consider the life of Elijah. When Elijah feared for his life and fled the wrath of Queen Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, he ran into the wilderness. He hid in the mountains and cowered in a cave. And while he hid, 1 Kings 19:11 says, "The Lord passed by." The Lord passed by and heard Elijah self-righteously wailing about how much he had done for him. He heard Elijah complaining about the mess God had gotten him into. And I'm paraphrasing when I tell you that Elijah told God, "I'm the only one you have left, and look at the mess that I'm in." Elijah, you see, expected God to be present in dramatic manifestations and astounding miracles, and so he is sometimes. But to a prophet who's had enough, to a prophet at the end of his tether, drained of strength and wishing he were dead, it is not supernatural displays of power, but God's whispered word that will speak to him at a time of crisis.
If you want to stir up God's anger, I tell you, start complaining about how much you have to do for him. You know how we do. Nobody wants to work in the kitchen committee but me. Nobody wants to teach Sunday school but me. Nobody wants to prepare communion but me. Nobody wants to cut the church grass but me. And I know that you get the point, but like Elijah, we get the woe is me more often than we care to admit. But let me get back to how God speaks to us. The word says that while Elijah was in this cave complaining and cowering, the Lord passed by. Here was Elijah hiding in a cave in fear of his life, and the Lord passed by. When God moves, we can only imagine the energy God exhibits. When God moves, there is a whole lot of shaking going on, and yet Elijah did not sense God's presence. The word says that God's breath caused an avalanche in the mountains, but Elijah did not sense the presence of God. Then God caused an earthquake, but Elijah did not sense God in the earthquake. And even when God sent fire from heaven, Elijah still cowered in the cave. Finally, God spoke in a still small voice, a whisper, and Elijah heard him. Elijah came rushing to the mouth of the cave, hiding his face under his cloak, just in time to hear God say, "What you doing here, Elijah? Why are you hiding? Don't you trust me?" Oftentimes, God is asking us the same thing. Why are you hiding? Why aren't you trusting me? I have 7,000 followers besides you. Come out of there and let me show them to you. Beloved, there is no doubt. God speaks to us through his word, his spiritual leaders, and his Holy Spirit. The real question is, are you listening? Your deafness can get you into real trouble. Ask the patriarchs of the scripture. What happens when you stop listening to the Lord? King Saul stopped listening and became afraid of the giant Goliath. David stopped listening and had an affair with another man's wife. Israel stopped listening and split itself in two. Belshazzar stopped listening and had to read the writing on the wall. Jonah stopped listening and was swallowed by a great fish. Judas stopped listening and ended up hanging himself. Samson stopped listening and was imprisoned by the Philistines. There's just no good outcome, you see, when you turn a deaf ear to God when God speaks. I'm grateful that the Lord is still passing by. I don't know if you believe it, but the Lord is still passing by. He's passing by right now. And the question is, those of you in this room and those of you on the Facebook pew, are you listening? He's speaking to each of us with his still small voice. He's speaking to those who are bound by destructive habits. He's speaking to those who are deceived by their own convoluted thinking. He's speaking to those who are weakened by their own selfish indulgence. He's speaking to those who are burdened by their own circumstances. He's speaking to those who are affected by relationships. He's speaking to those who are embarrassed by their own situation. Sometimes, beloved, we long for God to reveal himself to us in powerful and dramatic ways. So did Elijah. But he learned that God makes himself known to us not only with dramatic shouts, but also by means of gentle whispers. Sometimes we are tempted to run away from a persistent problem. So did Elijah. For the Lord sent him back. Go back the way you came, says the Lord in verse 15. There's nothing I can do for you here that I can't do for you there. Sometimes we feel that we've run out of steam in our Christian walk with God. That we just can't carry on anymore. So did Elijah. But the Lord's work continues. And God's servant still has a role to play. Anoint Hazael king over Aram and Jehu king over Israel. Anoint Elisha as your successor. Verse 15, God has a plan and purpose for his creation. And you have to know that you have a part to play in it. But he doesn't expect you to do it all. Some of y'all missed that. You have a part to play in it. He does not expect you to do it all. That was liberating for me. Sometimes we feel isolated and vulnerable as followers of the Lord. So did Elijah. But he was not the only one left. He had forgotten about faithful Obadiah and the 100 prophets of the Lord whom he had sheltered from Jezebel. In fact, the Lord now reveals in verse 17, there are 7,000 whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouth have not kissed him. So remember, beloved, that with the Lord, quietness does not mean inactivity. God has not gone to sleep. God has not forgotten you. You are not on your own. When we reach the end of our resources, we have only come to the beginning of God. Put your trust in him and know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Or as Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I stopped by this morning to let you know that the Lord is speaking to you. He's speaking to you right now. And only you can hear the personal message he is sending. One that speaks to you in a way that no one else can. He's speaking to your heart, the soul of man. He's telling you to let him take over. He can restore that reputation. He can open your blinded eyes. He can calm your shattered nerves. He can pacify your passions and redeem your scarred souls. God is speaking to you, Ebenezer. God is speaking to you. Can you hear him? It's a still, small voice, a whisper in your ear. If you're ready to listen, turn up the volume. I said, turn up the volume. Open up your heart and open up your mind. Believe in possibilities when it comes to God. God is speaking to you right now. God is telling you to come out of your comfort zone. God is speaking to you right now. God is saying, trust me. Trust me. I will never leave you nor forsake you, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God speaking in a still small voice. We look around our society right now and we see politics on steroids. Justice Ginsburg not even in the ground, and people are plotting and strategizing on what they're going to do next. We crossed 200,000 people in our country who have died because of coronavirus. People are still unemployed. Children are learning from a distance. There is no normalcy in our nation or the world. Europe is now on the second wave. We need to listen. God is speaking. And beloved Ebenezer, we got so much work to do. Work that is Herculean in nature. Tremendous and big. Seemingly from human perspective, bigger than us. But we serve a big God. A God that is yet able in whatever circumstances we are. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Are we coming up with our own prescriptions, our own ideas? Or are we looking and consulting in God's word? Whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, I offer to you today Christ. I lift up Christ today and implore you to listen to that still small voice. That voice that's tugging at your heart right now. That voice is telling you that you need to be in a real relationship with Jesus Christ. That voice that is telling you that if you're already a part of the family of faith, letting you know that you can do better in your walk and your journey with God. It's that voice that echoes and resonates. Are you listening? Do you hear him? Drown out the noise. The doors of the church is open right now. The doors of the church are open. If there's someone here or someone out on the Facebook pew that desires a real and lasting relationship with Jesus Christ, we're extending an invitation to you to join this family of faith. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Give your hand to us and we will connect and we will praise God together. The doors of the church are open. If you are coming from a church, you've been inactive, you have not been active, and you want to have a real relationship with a faith community, we are extending Ebenezer to you. I know we are in the midst of a pandemic. I know that we're doing the distance thing. I know we got to cover up, but we can still be in relationship. We can still be in partnership right now. The doors of the church are open. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to just send us your name in the comment section. Let us know who you are. And we will have one of our deacons or our church clerk to follow up with you so that you can be a part of this family of faith. I thank God for Brother Moore, who connected with us this week and asked, what do I need to be a member? And we got his information this week. And he wants to be a part of this fellowship. He said he grew up in this church and he had fallen away, have done some other things, but he wants Ebenezer to be his church home. We praise God, Brother Moore, for your willingness to connect back with us. We love you, Jesus. We worship and adore you. You're so worthy of the praise. Is there one today? Come on. Come on, Melody. Yeah.
Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah. Let us now prepare to receive our benediction to the Ebenezer Church family who are in Chicago locally. We have some news to share with you this week, and we're going to utilize the calling post to do just that. We're asking that you will continue to pray for our faith community. We look forward to being able to see in you real soon. And when we're able to do that, though, things will be different than the way in which we left. Please know that we can still gather and praise and magnify the name of Jesus. To those members who are part of the committee that I asked to be here today, thank you for being here. I hope you are ready. Ebenezer, let's be in prayer for one another and for our faith community. Let us look to heaven as we prepare to receive the benediction. And now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, to present you before his Father with exceedingly great joy. To the all-wise God be dominion and power, honor, and glory. Now, henceforth, and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Is our prayer. Amen. Everyone, thank you for being here. I think we'll be okay for next week. So I'm going to make the announcement sometime either Monday or Tuesday that we will be resuming in-person worship. We want to maximize the balcony as well as the first floor. We want to make certain that our people are spread around. Evan, trustee person, will be kind of the point person to make certain that we are following the guidelines that we need to. We will only be having worship. We will not be having Sunday school in here for the foreseeable future. So I just want you to know that we are still in the midst of a pandemic. There is no vaccine. And today was another milestone in our country. 200,000 have died. So we want to do everything we possibly can to be to take every precaution. And to some of you, it may seem like it's overreach, but I'd rather do overreach than not do enough to make certain that our congregation is safe and protected. So keep that in mind for next Sunday, and I'll put a calling post out. And we'll also be sending out a newsletter this week to inform the congregation. Anybody have any questions? Please, we're going to ask you to continue to come in the Vincent side, so you can get your temperature checks. You can do your hand sanitizers. That's here.
That's not for musicians.
There are sanitizers on the wall as well. We want to encourage the use of those things. And, of course, the Sims building, there's no need to utilize the Sims building. That's kind of not – there's no need to be in there. We're going to have a custodian here to make certain that we can wipe down stuff and all of that. So we don't want to get laxed. We don't want to get laxed at all because it's just as easy as it is to kind of reopen – if we have to, we'll have to close it again if we find ourselves not being cautious. So please, and I know we have an older congregation, and I know that some people may not want to follow instructions, but we're going to insist upon that. We're going to insist upon that. And if they have a problem, they can always see me or see the chairman about that. But we are going to insist on mask wearing and everything else and distancing and everything. Yes. And this front part of the sanctuary will not be, it'll be kind of off limits. We don't want members to come past where the camera is for a variety of reasons. The musicians and stuff won't always be in masks because they got to talk among themselves. So we don't want anyone coming down to the altar area. All right. So please, please, please. This is all for safety purposes. And if we do it the right way, we should be fine. Any questions? Thank you very much. Yeah. With what? Okay. What was the thinking behind that? Are we closing certain rows? So every other row for the social distancing. Okay. We should have enough rows to accommodate all of our membership, including the balcony. So we should be okay. Let's try it. Let's try it for next week as best we can. We may only have this crowd next week. We don't know. So, but I know that we had asked, we know we want to do social distancing. So let's try it. And let's just operate in a spirit of grace. None of us has been here before. None of us has done this before. So let's just operate in the spirit of grace and understanding. Yes, ma'am. We're not going to pass it. Now, there's two ways. There's two thoughts as relates to basket. A couple of my colleagues have ushers stationed at the door, and members have, and they're exiting. They give their offering there. We don't want the transferring of the basket. So if you want to come down aisle and go in between the aisles, you can look at that way, or we can just have you all stationed at the back and they can just drop it in as they're departing. Very well. Very well. Very well. We know they're still not in.
Yep.
The long handling baskets that we ordered are not in yet, so we have to do this. All right, any other questions?